We're thinking together for a few weeks about how God goes through the process of building a new you. We find in Scripture that God is all about new things. He talks about bringing light into darkness. He talks about bringing life out of death. He talks about bringing beauty out of ashes. He talks about making all things new. We even look forward to one of these days when Scripture tells us that He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Our God is a God of new things. And what we find out is that He wants to be about the work of building a new you. We started last week as we talked about what that might look like. We talked about how He begins with our minds. He transforms our minds so that that's where it all begins, the process of becoming new. And this morning, I want us to look at the transformation of the heart. The transformation of the heart. As God begins to make us into something new, one of the primary places that He's going to focus His attention is the heart. I'd invite your attention to the book of Ezekiel. I know your worship folder said Joel, so if you already found Joel, just turn to the left a little bit and find the big book of Ezekiel toward the end of the Old Testament. I want us to look at Ezekiel chapter 36, and we're going to begin at verse 26. Ezekiel 36 at 26. Those of you who are on the snap book or the face chat, did you see the viral video within the last week or two? The bride is getting married, and there's a man that brought the bride down the aisle, but that man wasn't really her father. Did you see that? Yeah. This man ushered the bride down the aisle. And it was a beautiful wedding. But he's not really her father. And what we find out is that her father died sometime previous, and he was an organ donor. And so when they died, they took his heart and they gave it to this other man. And now that is the man carrying daddy's heart who ushered the bride down the aisle. Isn't that cool? I just thought that was so cool. Not only for the emotional kind of sappy part of it. I mean, that's cool. Daddy's heart's there, you know. Not only for that, but that's incredible to me that they can take a heart from one person and put that heart in a different person. And now with a new heart, this man has a chance to live. That's incredible to me. And as I thought about it, I thought, well, that happened to me. I have a new heart. And then it kind of hit me that somebody had to die for me to get that new heart too. When Jesus died on that cross, He made it possible for me to be forgiven of my sin and to step out of the old life and in an act of repentance and faith to step into a new life with a new heart. I want us to think about that transformation of the heart this morning. In Ezekiel chapter 36 at verse 26, what's happening is the people of Israel have disobeyed God again. And He has warned them again. And they ignored the warning again. And He actually allowed the enemy country to come in and basically wipe them out, take them off into captivity. But as they go, He says, but listen, You're still my people. I'm still your God. And because of that, I will bring a remnant back. Some of you will return back to the land I promised you. And when that happens, I'm going to bring a revival into your life. I'm going to give you a new heart. Ezekiel 36 at 26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. When he talks about transforming the heart, he uses two images. One is the heart of stone. The other, a heart of flesh. Now, we know, don't we, that when he talks about the heart, he's not really talking about the muscle that pumps blood. We understand that. He's talking about the very seat of who you are, the center of your being. Most of us associate the heart with emotion. We get sad, we say, "She broke my heart," right? We consider it the place for emotion. When good things happen and we're happy, we say, "My heart is full." But it's more than emotion. Scripture, I think, refers to it more as the seat of the will, more than just emotion. It seems to be that inner part of us that decides, that chooses to follow God or reject Him. It is that part of us that makes us us, if you will. And so it is into that very innermost part of your being that God wants to reach, to speak, to change. And he uses the image of the heart in two ways. There is the stone heart and the heart of flesh. Now think about it. What would a heart of stone be like? Cold. Hard, impenetrable, wouldn't do much good either, would it? A heart of flesh, warm as that life-giving blood flows in and out of it. It's warm. It's flexible. It's usable. It's powerful. Big difference between a heart of stone and a heart of flesh. And as I read this verse, thinking about the transformation that takes place, I wanted to spend some time on those two hearts. That he says, "I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and with this heart transplant now, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh." Thinking of those two things, I started trying to picture what it might be that causes the difference. Let's look at the heart of stone first. As I thought about that heart of stone, I realized that probably the reason that it's a heart of stone is that it is protecting itself. I'm not going to let you in. That hard rock, that stone, I'm not going to let anybody close enough to hurt me. The problem is, when I don't let anyone close enough to hurt me, I also don't let anyone close enough to love me. That's the problem, isn't it? A heart of stone protects self. Why? Because self is the only thing the heart of stone cares about. A heart of stone is only focused on self. So I'm going to watch out for me. I'm going to take what is mine. I'm going to protect all that I have and all that I am. I'm going to be about me. The heart of stone protects itself. And then I thought, not only does it protect, but it neglects. Because that heart of stone, it's a hard stone that protects itself, but that also means by its very nature then that it neglects others. The heart of stone only cares about self. That means I don't care about you. I'm protecting myself by being hard and impenetrable, and by protecting myself in that way, I also keep myself from caring about anyone else. It's pretty hard to break a heart of stone because it doesn't care, it can't get broken. It's a heart of stone protects itself and it neglects others. Do you remember Dr. Seuss and the Grinch? Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Oh, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. But I think the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. Maybe it wasn't the size of the heart, but the nature of it. A stone heart protects itself, it neglects others, and it rejects the truth. Protects, neglects, and rejects. It rejects the truth. When something hits impenetrable stone, it bounces off. That's even true about the truth. When it hits a heart of stone, it bounces off. God says, I love you. It bounces off. God said, I created you on purpose to be something special, and it bounces off. God says, I've demonstrated my love for you in that while you were still sinning, I sent Jesus to die for you, and it bounces off. The heart of stone rejects the truth. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus told the parable. We call it the parable of the sower. I don't think that's the best title for it, because the story is really not about the farmer. It's really about the soils. It's the parable of the soils, where the farmer is throwing seed around. Some of that seed falls on the wayside. Some of it falls on rocky ground. Some of it falls on good ground. And that fell on the rocky ground, you know, the roots couldn't go very deep, so it kind of sprung up for a second and then it died away, proving that it had not really grabbed onto it, that it wasn't the real thing. That's the heart of stone. It hits and it doesn't take root. The truth can't settle in and transform. And in that parable, Jesus started explaining to the disciples later what he meant and what that was really all about. And in that explanation in Matthew 13, he said their hearts have grown so hard that the truth can't get in there. That's the Crowder paraphrase, but you can look it up and get the real words later. It's a heart of stone that rejects the truth. There it is. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes or hear with their ears and understand with their hearts in turn. And then I'd heal them. But they've shut themselves off. They don't hear. They don't see. And their hearts are stone. In Jeremiah 24 at 7, he speaks of the same thing in a different way in the Old Testament. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people. I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. He looks forward to that day when the heart of stone is moved away and people can have a heart of flesh again. He looks forward to that day that they will be able to accept the truth instead of rejecting the truth. The heart of stone protects itself. It neglects others and it rejects the truth. What then is the heart of flesh? What might that look like? The heart of flesh, first of all, it loves. The heart of flesh loves. The heart of stone is all about self, but the new heart that God gives, the heart that we receive when we accept Christ and then is refined over the rest of our lives here, that new heart, instead of being all about self, is a heart for others. Look at how Jesus taught us. He said, you've heard it said that you're not to commit murder, but I tell you that if you have hatred in your heart, you've already committed murder. You've heard it said that you're not to commit adultery, but I'm telling you, if you have lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. It's a matter of the heart with Jesus. And so he says, you want to know how to treat other people? Figure out how you would like them to treat you. You see, your focus is on others instead of self, because a heart of flesh is about others instead of me. Jesus says then, go. Tell them, teach them, baptize them. Don't leave them out. Be thinking of others. The night that he was betrayed, the night before he died, he told his disciples, I love you. And now that love that you love each other, and that love that you have for each other will demonstrate to the rest of the world that you follow me. And not only that, but he picked up a towel and a basin and he washed their feet and he said, now you follow my example and serve one another. You see, the heart of flesh, the heart that he's in charge of, the heart that accepts him, that is being changed by him, that heart is about others instead of being about self. It's a heart that loves. Yesterday, Lisa and I celebrated our 28th anniversary. 28, right? You know all that's for you because they figure you survived 28 years. That's worth clapping for. 28 years, and you know, when I wrote on her little card, you know, you do the little anniversary card, do the thing. You have to write something sweet on there. Every year it gets more and more difficult to figure out what to write on there that's not the same thing you wrote last year, you know. I wrote it, and I finished it up. I said, well, how do I finish this? It needs something at the end. And I just said, I love you with all my heart. And what does that mean? I love you with all my heart. That innermost part of my being, that part of me that makes me instead of someone else, it's not the muscle. It's not the blood pump. It's the me. And when I say I love you with all my heart, I'm saying I love you with every part of me that is meaningful, that makes any difference in this world. The heart of flesh is one that loves with every bit of whatever makes you you. That's the kind of heart that God brings, that God creates within us. He takes us from that selfish, over self-protected, self-oriented, hard-hearted. He takes us from that person and he transforms us into someone more like Jesus, who loved so much that he gave his whole life for others. We move from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh loves, but not only does a heart of flesh love, a heart of flesh learns. As we grow through this experience of our heart being changed, we learn to be more like Christ. We learn to understand the things of God. We learn to be His people. In Jeremiah 31, He says, this is the covenant I'll make with my people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their mind sand write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. I'm going to put their law in their minds. Talked about it last week. I'll put the law in their minds. I'm going to reveal it to them in such a way they understand it. But not just so that they get it. I'm going to not only put it in their minds, I'm also going to write it on their hearts. So it's not just intellectual, but it becomes a part of who they are. I understand the power of that, because at one time, God's law was only written on stone. You remember that? Tablets. God wrote on tablets and stone. He said, that's going to change one of these days, and I'm going to start dealing with my people not in hard, cold stone and facts, but I'm going to deal with them personally, individually, and powerfully from within who they are. You and I are blessed to be a part of that time where God deals with us personally, powerfully, individually from within. He writes His law in our hearts if we let Him. We learn from Him who He wants us to be and how we best serve. A heart of flesh loves, heart of flesh learns, and a heart of flesh lives. I guess that's the biggest difference as I think about that heart of stone. It's going to sit there and do nothing because it's cold. It's hard. A heart of flesh is going to be able to do what it was created to do. It's going to be able to live and bring life to others. A heart of flesh lives. Colossians chapter 2 says, when you were dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. You were dead. Before you came to Christ, spiritually speaking, you were dead. And then you come to a point where you are born again, spiritually born. At that time, you become a spiritual being that you were not before. You become something new. You become alive. And that heart of stone is changed into a heart of flesh that can begin to love and learn and live. I want to encourage you to remember the prayer of David. Create in me a clean heart, or a pure heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. I'm going to guess that this morning that might be a prayer that you need to pray. God, create in me a clean heart. Change my heart, O God. Take out all the remnants of the cold, selfish, old self. And replace all that heart of stone with a heart of flesh. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Change me. Make me more like Jesus. Make me one who loves. Make me one who learns from you. Make me one who really lives. Father, as we enter into a time now of commitment and decision, as we enter into a time now of obedience, I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us, that we would make sure that we are indeed right with you before we leave this place. Help each of us to make sure that we have trusted in you for that new life that brings with it a new heart. Father, if we have lived in such a way that we've hindered the work that you're doing in transforming our hearts, we ask your forgiveness. Pray that you'd help us to repent. Father, show us what it is we need to do today to have the heart of Jesus, to be people after God's own heart. We pray that you'd guide us in Jesus' name.